landmines meaning? What's going to make a difference in your life? I understand very comfortably what he said in the opening up of his statements. Landmines. Things that we will always remember. We're building a foundation. We're on a journey. The journey is going to last, Lord willing, for about 48 weeks. It's going to be laying a foundation. And on laying that foundation, we're going to see the structure of the universe built. We're going to see life come together. We're moving from creation to the Christ. And in order for us to get there, we've got to do one brick at the time. Some of these things you can say, well, I know that, and that's good. But I dare say the person close by you doesn't. It's not firm. It's kind of shaky. So what we're going to do now is we're going to drive into this. We're going to be looking at what the Bible tells us. We're going to be looking at the autobiography of what the Bible says, because the Bible teaches us what God is like. Do you want to know what God is like? Do you really want to know? Read His autobiography. Because it's going to tell you. It really is going to tell you what it's all about. And it all starts with Genesis 1:1, which says, in the beginning, God. You can't go back beyond that. In the beginning, God. And when you look at God, you want to say, well, how big is this? Next slide. That's the Milky Way galaxy. That's your cul-de-sac. That's where you live. That's where you live. And this is only one of thousands of galaxies, all created for the glory of God. And now you're beginning to say, well, where is God? God is above the universe. That goes beyond this mind, and it stretches out into believing and knowing what is out there. But people are asking, and maybe you asked this question recently, is there really a God? Now, don't get too far off from me. Is there really a God? What's the origin of God? Where did God come from? What can God do? Tell me, what can God not do? Why does God allow disasters to kill so many people? Why does God allow an 18-year-old girl named Susan at Plymouth Baptist Church to get cancer and die? Why does God allow that? Why does it seem that evil prevails so many times? Have you asked questions like that? So many people have, and we've got to have some answers. And so therefore, we've got to go back to God, because God's the only one that's going to give us so many of these answers. And some of the questions we're asking, you'll not know. I'll not know. But God's going to give us significant enough evidence about Himself so that we can live a life of faith. Well, what did we look at last week? Last week we talked about the Bible. The Bible is about God, it's inspired by God, and it's preserved by God. Now, can you believe that the Bible is accurate? Are there any errors in there? No errors. Okay? So therefore, it's true, it's trustworthy, it's personal, it's prophetical. This is God's Word. This is what we're talking about. It highlights Israel, and its messages to all people, and it's structured by what? Books, chapters, verses. Who can name the 66 books of the Bible? Okay. All right, who wants to try? Y'all can do it right after the worship service. Okay. All right, here we go. Next slide. Because we're thinking about who God is. Now, God used more, let's just stick with the facts. God used more than 40 prophets, more than 40 men to give us what we have today that's trustworthy, it's personal, it's reliable, it's good for us. And God spread it over a period of time of 1,600 years. So we're not talking about somebody that wrote a book. We're talking about a long period of time that God has been revealing Himself to you. Over 1,600 years. That's a long time, isn't it? 1,600 years. Now, how many books in the Bible? How many in the Old Testament? Do you see my little hook right there? Hook is, I got you. 3 times 9 is what? How many books are in the New Testament? 27. You see that 3 and your 9? You won't ever forget how many books are in the Bible if you'll remember 3 times 9 equals 27. Got that, Miss Carol? Good. I was going to call you Elsie, but you know, later would know who you were. Okay, so you got 66 books, 3 times 9 is 27, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. All right, you with me? Anybody want to try to name all 27 in the New Testament? Okay, all right, not right now. Next slide. Because what we're going to begin looking at, we're going to see that the Bible is the revelation of God Himself. That's really where we want to come at. Let God reveal Himself to you. Now, I want you to pull out your Bible and go with me, because this is one of those verses that you need to put a dot beside. In Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Do you know that there's not going to be any turkeys in heaven? There won't be. Because you know what a turkey does, don't you? Turkey struts around. So there's not going to be anybody strutting around in heaven. No turkeys. Okay. Well, maybe there's going to be some real live turkeys. I don't know. I like turkeys. Some people like turkey hunting, so maybe God will give us some turkeys. Okay. Anyhow, in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. You know any people that are just plain smart? Yeah. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Look at the second one. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So if you're smart, that's not the glory in. If you're strong, that's not the glory in. If you're rich, that's not the glory in. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Isn't that neat? This is what you glory in, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So what are you going to, what can you glory about? How good looking you are? Nah. Strong, rich, wise. Man's going to glory. Let him glory in this fact, that he knows God. Now, do you know God? Do you know him? Think about this as we're coming there. So as God has revealed himself to you, secondly, I want you to know all things had a beginning. Next slide here. All things had a beginning. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So therefore, if you got that understanding that all things have a beginning, what was before God? If all things had a beginning, what was before God? Before God? Nothing. There was nothing before God. God was in the beginning. There's nothing before Him. There's nothing after Him. In the beginning, God. That settles it. Okay? What about the universe? That came later. What about the devil? That came later. What about Jesus? Oh, tricky question. In the beginning, okay, was God. All right, so we see right there, all things had a beginning. Next slide. Because inside of this, God is eternal. Now, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, what? You are God. Got it? From everlasting to everlasting. So, what was before God? What's after God? Nothing. See, everlasting to everlasting. Now, here we go. The fool hath said, there is no God. That's what a fool says. What does a wise man say? Wise man says, happy birthday, you two. Do y'all know they're having a birthday this week, Jim and Wanda? So let's say happy birthday. Happy birthday. That's what a wise man says. Okay, now, where did that come from? I have no idea. Okay, God is eternal, all right? And so therefore, if anybody comes along and tries to say to you there is no God, then what can you call them? Tell them the Bible says they're a fool, okay? That's the best way to do it. Let God do the talking for you. Let your fingers do your walking, but let God do the talking, okay? The fool has said there is no God. Okay, so therefore we got this kind of settled in our mind. We're building on the foundation. Next slide. Coming up, because we're dealing with foundational things. God is spirit. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does a spirit look like? It's a spirit. Can't see it, okay? God is spirit. Now, do you remember that picture in your mind about the Milky Way? Who was above the Milky Way? God was. How far does God branch out? Wow! He's spirit, and because He's spirit, He can branch out across it all. He is there. Because He's spirit, He is there. God is spirit. So therefore, when Scott, when you're digging that ditch and you get down to that bottom hole and you dig it up and all of a sudden you get down there, that bottom hole, right before you have to get in that stuff you don't want to get into, God's there. God's there. No matter how low you go, God's there. No matter how high you go, God's there. God's spirit. So He's going to reach out. He's going to touch. So therefore, is there a place that you can go out and hide? Aaron, can you hide anywhere from God? No. Why? Because He is what? He's there. Next slide. God's not limited by time and space. The eyes of the Lord are ever in place, keeping watch over the evil and the good. So the eyes of the Lord, I don't know where Miss Debbie is, but we got to get her back here. But she used to do this. Right? Y'all remember that? And that's what the Lord Jesus does for us. God's got His eyes on you. There's never a time in which God hasn't got His eyes on you. So when you start flipping channels, remember, God has got His eyes. And when you want to say something you shouldn't say, yeah, remember God's got His eyes on you. And when you say something good about somebody, God's got His eyes on you. Wow. So in the good time and in the bad time, God's got His eyes on you. Next slide there. Because we're looking at this, God, here's the bonus. Don't y'all like bonus? I mean, you know, you for $25, you can buy this pot, this pan, and along with that, let me give you, here's the bonus. Three theological words. Omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. Don't ask me to spell it. Omnipresent, omniscient. Okay, here we go. Omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. In other words, God is all present. Is there a place where you can go that God's not there? No, that's where omni means all present. So He's all present. Omnipower, omnipotent, power, potent. God is all powerful. Is there any strength out there that doesn't belong to God, in authority? Nope. So the power belongs where? Yeah. So He's all powerful. Is He bigger than the storm? Is He bigger than your problem? God's all powerful. And it's all-knowing. You've been, those little thoughts you've been thinking, I know it. And all of a sudden, Stallone looked down and he saw that girl right down the road, I mean right down two or three in school. God says, I know it, Stallone. I think she's pretty too. Oh, okay, God knows our thoughts, doesn't He? He really does. God knows our thoughts. He's all-knowing. So therefore, if you're struggling, He knows it. If you're praising, He knows it. If you're needing an answer, He knows it. We just need to go and seek the mind of God. Next slide. Because in looking at this, God is a Trinity. God is Trinity. Now, you know what the word Trinity means? It means three. Yeah, it's three in one. Okay, tree. T-R-I, tree. Okay, He's three in, who knows? He's three in one. Okay, so therefore, He's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. How do we know God? We know God as God reveals Himself as the Father, as the Son, as the Holy Spirit. Genesis said, then God said, let us make man in our image according to His likeness. Make us, that meaning plural, us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So, and then in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Spirit, Holy Spirit, God, the Father, me, Jesus. So even we pick up Jesus out of the Old Testament. So therefore, we see the Trinity very much alive. So when you begin to talk about God, remember, when you say God, we're talking Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How do we understand the Father? How do we understand the Holy Spirit? How do we understand Jesus? We're understanding this in the light of God. Next slide. We're dealing with foundation. So what we're trying to do is kind of keep us on track here. God, Father, Son, Spirit. You see that before the creation of the world? Now that's what we're dealing with right now. This is the time period in building this foundation. We're talking about God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then coming after this, we're going to see that God's going to create the angels. Lucifer is going to come into being. Satan is going to kick in right here. Demons are going to come on the picture. And all of these things are going to happen even before the creation. In other words, part of God's universe is marred, is messed up, even before the world was created. When did this happen? I don't know. All I can tell you is before Adam and Eve. How old is the universe? Well, God created the world in seven days. Before all of this happened, God had already created angels, good angels. Then these good angels made bad decisions and they became bad angels. Satan comes along, he's the leader of the bad angels. And these bad angels we call demons. Happened before Adam and Eve, yes. Not before the beginning. The beginning's God. All right, good, quickie question. I gave everybody one question. That was his. Okay, all right. Did it happen before the beginning? No, in the beginning was God. Who created Lucifer? God did. Who created the good angels? God did. Who created the bad angels? God did. God created. Okay, and this is before the world's foundation was laid. By the way, before the world's foundation was laid, Jesus Christ was going to die for your sins and my sins. This is part of the big picture. Even before Lucifer was created, the demons rebelled. These good angels went bad. Jesus Christ, from the very foundation, was going to pay the ultimate price for your life and my life. Next slide. Remembering this, that God's sovereign. Okay, He's over it all. God's sovereign. Okay, inasmuch as there is none like You, O Lord, You are great and Your name is great in might. And all of these verses signify and talk about that God is sovereign. God's in charge. God's sovereign. God's the ruler. So you can't go above God because He's as high as it goes. You with me? All right, now let's see how this works. Next slide. Okay, now we're looking at God and looking at man. Okay, I'm going to tell you about God and y'all tell me about man, okay? God has no beginning and no end. God is independent. God is spirit. Man is God is everywhere all the time. God is the highest in authority. Okay, now that's kind of bring it in. These are foundational statements. You with me now? So we really see how big God is, and this is a big deal. All right, now let's go to the next slide. Because we begin to understand that God alone tells us how everything came into being. Boy, we have the guys who are listening around the clock, 365 days. They've got their ears tuned in with these super speakers that are reaching out in space, wanting to hear if there is a message from some other living creature that's out there in the universe. Your tax dollars are paying for this. They're listening. They've not heard anything, any other creature, creation. But they're listening. So how did all this come about? God was there. And because God was there, then He's the one who tells us what it's all about. In other words, if you want to know something, go to somebody who was there. Don't go down the line hearsay. I mean, this scientist said, this scientist said, this scientist said. Or you have to go back and say, God said. And who can dispute Him? I can tell you who does dispute Him, a fool. But going back, if you want to know about the creation of the universe, go back to the person who was there. His name is God. And so therefore, He is the one who's going to tell us how all these things come about. Now, God has given man wisdom to take this onion and unwrap many things. We didn't know about the Milky Way universe. We didn't know about all this. I mean, the Hubble telescope and all of these things that are happening out there, God is allowing us to reach in there and see His glory. God has given man a lot of wisdom. But if you want to go back to the source, you go back to God. God's the one who's going to tell us. We need scientists. Hey, we do. We need doctors, nurses, plumbers, people in pawn shops. I mean, we need them all, you know. God's got a place for us all. And God here is going to tell us all these things. Now, that's part of the foundation. Next slide. Because we begin to see, we're going back to now, we're saying, okay, here, God, this is how You put this all together. Next slide. This is just, I just want to give you here the timeline. You can see Isaac and Esau and Jacob, and then Israel goes to Egypt, and then there's Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Judges. And then 1000 B.C., we begin to see how this thing's unraveled. Next slide. And that goes all the way up to the time of Christ. Now, the reason I know you can't read all this, but what I wanted you to see is we're on a track, and we are on track. Next slide. We're headed toward the Christ. So now I wanted to kind of say, let's burn this into our mind. How does all this thing fit together? Self-revelation. God is revealing Himself to us. Who's the sole source of creation, sole knowledge? We know that that's God the Father. So now, therefore, if we think about this, God is at the beginning. He's eternal. He's Spirit. There's no limitations on Him. Trinity sovereign. And it goes back in the beginning. Now, do you have a little bit clear scope of who God is? Are you with me? Because I want you to see, I think this is where it comes in. I want you to see how this picture comes together right here. So let's just go back to a guy who God said to a guy who killed somebody. His name was Moses. Moses went out in the wilderness. And while Moses was out in the wilderness for about 40 years, he was wandering around. And then God came up, God who is at the beginning, who is eternal, who's sovereign, who's in charge, not limited time, space, eternal, and at the beginning. He goes up and he begins to have this bush out there, and this bush catches on fire. But the thing is, this bush never burns up. It just keeps on burning. So Moses comes along, and Moses said, I want to go see what's happening out there. So Moses goes out there, and he looked at this bush that's burning. And when he gets out there, all of a sudden, he hears a voice coming from God. Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, for the place on where you are standing, this is holy ground. God appeared in the bush as a theophany. It's the burning It didn't go away. God's Spirit was moving on the heart of Moses. And God the Father spoke out to him and says, I want you to set my people free. I want you to go talk to Pharaoh and then lead my people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and take them to the promised land. Take them to Canaan. Oh, Moses said, me, Lord? Moses had a stick. He said, Lord, they won't believe me. He said, what do you got in your hand? He said, just a rod. Throw it down. Boom! You know what that rod became? A snake. Now, it took so much faith for him to throw that stick down. I understand that. But then he said, pick him up by the tail. I think that's where more faith come in there. He reached down there to that snake and he picked that snake up and it became a rod again. That's what's God talking to him. He says, now take your hand, put it inside and pull it out. And when he brought it out, his hand was leprosy. And then he took his hand and he said, put it back in again. And he put it back in again and he brought it out. And it was normal. The leprosy was gone. This is what happens. God speaks. Now, Moses becomes like Jesus. Moses was the deliverer. Jesus Christ is our deliverer. Jesus Christ, He went to the ultimate, paid the price. And now you and I can build on a foundation that's eternal, timeless, all power, all knowing, all strength, because of what Jesus Christ has done. You are part of this big plan. The foundation is set. Are you ready to build on it? Are you ready to bring all these pieces together? Did we answer all the questions in the bulletin? I think. Did we get them all? Are you ready now to build on the foundation? When you see God, how do you see Him now? Have you got Him in a little box in a corner that every now and then you go and peek in that little box and say, was God in there? I got Him. Or do you see God as the above the universe? When you need God, He knows you. He's close to you. He created you. He was before you came into existence. And once He created you, you will never die. You will become an eternal being. And the question is, where is that eternal being going to live? With God? In the heavens? Or are you going to rebel like the angels? Remember we talked about those demons? God built a place for them. And that place is called hell. See, that's coming. That's just foundation statements. God says, I built a foundation for you now. This is what I want you to do. Get to know me. Okay? For the next 46 weeks, I want you to get to know me. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, and as we begin to build on these foundations, we know, O Lord, that you're here. And now because you got it all together, there's a master plan, and you have made us part of the puzzle. You created us uniquely, specially, O God. You created us to be somebody special in your creation. Thank you. We want to know you more, God. We really want to know you more. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Building the foundation. There's no other foundation that has been laid other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you part of the foundation? Are you building? Are you a little bit weak now? You want to know Him more? Hey, go to the resource. Go to the Bible. That's where we're going to be going in. Dig in. It's good. Dig in. Some of you may have come here this morning, though, and you've got some stuff that's weighing heavy on you. And you want to go to the altar, and you just want to leave it at the altar. I encourage that. Some of you might be saying this morning, look, I want to be on the foundation. I built on the sifting sand long enough, I want to be on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. You want to give your life to Jesus, we're ready to pray for you. Like our deacons come forth, and they're going to be up front. We're going to sing another song. You might know this song, you might not. If you do, learn it. If you don't, hum it. Or whatever you do, pray and praise God. Let's stand together, okay? Let's stand together as people are making decisions this morning during this time of invitation.
That's what you are.
Father, you are God alone. You're unchangeable. You are unstoppable. then I thank you, God, that you've made us part of your plan. I thank you, Father, that the people who are here right now are hearing God speak through the Holy Spirit. That the Word of God that we read together is telling us more and more of how we got here. And I thank you, God, that you love us beyond any stretch of the imagination. And now, because of your love, may we love others. And now, because of your love, may we make good decisions. And now, because of your love, may we reach out and touch people with hope. We thank you, God, what you're doing and the future that is before us in 2016. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.